Well, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? Come on, let's give God a great big hand. Come on, so excited. Come on, one church, four locations here at Brighton Heights today. I'm glad you're here. I believe God has something specifically for you today that's going to help your spiritual life. How many of y'all need all the help you can get spiritually? Come on, somebody. Yeah, come on. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need faith, and we as a church are here to help you build your faith. Look at your neighbor and say, I need some of that. Come on. Come on. We need faith in the day and age we live, and I'm going to do all I can today to help you in a very practical way with your faith. What does it mean to take a step of faith with your money? A fresh start looking at money. How do we view money? Money is the one thing that each and every one of us think about every single day. Am I the only one? Come on, we think about it every single day. Am I right? Every single day, in some way, shape, or form, we think about money. But what does the Bible have to communicate about money? How do we think about it according to God? So when I think about this, listen, I want you to picture this. You got to picture you. And we all have this moment in church. We have this moment in church where we're here and we're worshiping God and it all feels good. But then there always comes this point in every church service all across the globe, they receive an offering. Have you been to that church? Am I right? And there's a missions endeavor, maybe Honduras building a home, maybe it's Pakistan, maybe it's something else. And in that moment, in this moment, what we have is we have attention. I really don't need Starbucks this week. What do I have? What can I give? And we have this moment where it's either reluctant, regret, or we just feel guilty. Is anybody with me here? Tell the truth, shame the devil, we're in church. Come on, somebody. Am I right? We feel a little guilty. We feel, and we're just hoping it passes. We're just hoping the basket passes quickly. We don't want to get eye contact. We look down. And I want to tell you today that you don't have to live that way. No, I want to help you today not live under regret or reluctant or emotional, but live on purpose for God. How many of y'all could do that? You see, as a church, we care about people's mental health. We care about anxiety. We care about stress. We care about people that are overloaded mentally and emotionally. We care about marriage. We care about family. We care about your home, and we care about your future. But to say we care about all those things and not talk about money would be a great error. Because all of us have stress in some way about money here. Now, I want to start off with just saying this. Money will not change you. It will make you more of what you already are. See, if you're generous and you get more money, you'll become more generous. If you're miserable and you get more money, you're going to become more miserable. If you're a miser and you'll never get by and God, you'll never have enough and you get more money, guess what you're going to become? More of a miser. See, money accentuates what you already are. When Natalie and I, we were early on in our marriage, two kids, real young, in the ministry. Listen, we know what it's like to be on a government assistance program for food. I remember Natalie towing two kids, two babies, going down to get cereal and cheese and formula and what else for our family. We know what it's like there. We know what it's like to get in those lines. But one thing we were then that we still are now is generous. We didn't wait till we got more money to get generous. We were tithing and we were generous the whole way through because that's who we were. So as God blessed us, we became more generous and more giving because we had more to give. See, but none of us think that way. All of us in this room right now are thinking, if I only had more, I had more money, things would be better. Right? And I'm here to tell you, why don't we stop and think things through according to God? Every single one of us here, our calendar and our spending reveal our core values. If you look at the way you spend your time and you look at the way you spend your money, I will tell you what your core values are. Every single person in this room, because they're the two commodities we think most about, time, money. So today, it's June 1st. Believe it or not, wearing hoodies on June 1st. Come on. Yesterday, I thought I was going to a football game. It was so cold out. Yeah, so June 1st, it's a good day to start over. Sunday's the first day of the week. We need a fresh start. We need a refresh. So the week is starting, so let's hit refresh. We're looking at the month of June, and we're saying, okay, how can June be different? I want to help you in your month of June be different with a fresh start, spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking, how can this be different? A fresh start with money will include these four steps of faith. There's four steps of faith I have for you. Live on a written budget, get out of debt, stay out of debt, save and invest, and give generously. Now, this big idea is to give you something to remember when you leave here. So when you leave here today, you're going to be able to remember, okay, see, it's not just about giving more. It's about, wait a minute, it's about getting on a budget, getting out of debt. It's about saving and investing. It's about giving generously. And I want to tell you today that you can take these steps of faith. Everything in some people in this room right now, as there's probably like 7 out of 10 people right now, you're struggling and you're saying, I'll never get ahead. I can't get ahead. Too much mortgage, not enough month. Come on. I got all these things, and I'm going to tell you today that you can live these steps of faith, because without steps of faith, we can't please God. And we're all here. Wouldn't you like to please God? Come on. I like to please God. That's what I'm in this for here, right? And so, okay, how do we please God? So there's certain mindsets that I want you to have. Here's just a couple things I want to roll through here. Hope is not a strategy. Let me say it to you more plainly. The lottery is not a strategy. Is that more plain? Right? Like, the lottery is not a strategy for your finances. Okay, it's not. Like, don't do that. Okay? God spoke to me to play the lottery. Okay, if God spoke to you, it should only take one time. I'm trying to help you. Yeah, hope is not a strategy. Another mindset, it all belongs to God. Oh, my whole life belongs to God. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, he got all of me. Right? Body, soul, spirit, strength. Am I right? Emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. He got all of me. I don't just give little bits to God. He gave it all, so I give it all back. All of me, all of my mind, all of these things. Here's another one. Money is not the goal. Money is a tool. See, many of us have, I want more money. I need more money. That's the goal. No, God gives us a tool to use for him in our money. Okay? This is spiritual stuff. The way we think about money is spiritual, and it affects every aspect of our lives here. Last but not least, Jesus taught, some scholars say it's roughly 30 parables, some about 32, depending on how you break them up. He taught over 30 parables. Jesus' words. How many of you don't know Jesus' words are important? All of them have one component, not money, but stewardship. How responsible are we with what God has given us? So to Jesus, stewardship is a really big deal. Are you with me here? Okay, four steps of faith right there. Let's look at this first one. Live on a written budget. Live on a written budget. So important. I'm going to read three verses to you in Luke chapter 16. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in larger ones. If you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater ones. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? These three verses affected my early walk with God, my early being a follower of Christ, more than any other three verses that Jesus spoke. These are red letters. These are Jesus's words. And it comes right after a story that Jesus tells about stewardship and money. He just tells a story about money, and this is his result. If you're faithful with a little, you get more. If you're faithful with another man's, you get your own. If you're faithful with worldly wealth, you'll get true riches. I'm going to get to true riches in just a little bit. But it's a written budget. So if a written budget is telling your money where to go. We've been in this Fresh Start series, hitting Fresh Start in all of our lives. And there's a QR code that's going to come up behind me. You need to get that. There's budgeting forms there. Budgeting, and why do you say it takes faith? Pastor, why does it take faith to have a budget? It's because you got to have faith to face brutal reality. No, it's faith to say, brutal reality, I need to look at my finances and look at where my money's going. See, a budget isn't just seeing where your money went. Come on, a budget is telling your money where to go. And if you want to take a step of faith that will bring more peace to your life than any other scripture that I can give you, get a written budget. Like, sit down and write out and tell your money where to go. I guarantee you, you will have more peace in your life. You'll have more courage in your life. You'll have less anxiety and stress in your life. How many of you could use a little less stress and anxiety in your life? I'm trying to help you. But you got to have brutal reality to sit down, get a budget. So get that budget form. You say, well, there's a lot of budget forms. I don't care which one you use. Use it. Go to a restaurant and get a whole bunch of napkins and write it down on there. I don't care. Okay, but get one. Get a written budget and tell your money where to go. Why am I saying this? If you plant corn, you will get corn. If you sow peace, you get peace. It's sowing and reaping. Now, you know, I don't know if you've ever noticed this. How many of you ever watched a Super Bowl, World Series, or NBA final? How many of you ever watched one, okay, in some way? How many of you ever noticed when they interview the winning team at the end? No winning quarterback or no winning point guard or no winning whatever it is that they just won. They didn't just say, hey, how does it feel to win the Super Bowl? I don't know how we got here. I don't know, I just got on a plane and it ended up here and we're in a Super Bowl and man, that's just kind of happened. Nobody does that. Why? Because it's sowing and reaping. It takes a lot of unspectacular work to get spectacular results. And so we got to do a lot of things that are unspectacular and mundane to get very spectacular results here. Budget is telling your money where to go. Parents, don't tell your kids when they say, can we stop at Dairy Queen? How many has ever heard that one? I'm probably more guilty of saying it than anybody else. Don't tell your kids we can't do that. We don't have enough money. Oh, come on. I want this new toy. I want this new thing. I want these new spikes for soccer. I want this. We don't have enough money. Stop telling your kids that. No, tell them, we're making a choice not to buy that for you. It's not a money issue, it's a choice issue. And we're choosing not to buy you that. We're choosing to have a future and a hope. This is helping you. The kids in kids ministry right now, they don't like this. They do not like parents having a goal. They don't like parents having a budget. But see, budgeting is telling your money where to go. Natalie and I just looked recently. We said, okay, we got to pull back a few things. So we literally said no to a few things so that we could have a better future. I would have loved over the last 2 months to do tennis lessons, tennis clinics that are $30 a clip. I didn't not do it because we didn't have money. I did it because I want to have a future and a hope. And I'm $120 richer not going. And quite honestly, I'm probably playing tennis the same. Okay? But a written budget, that's the first thing we need to do. A fresh start with money, you got to get out of debt. Get out of debt. Stay out of debt. Good debt, bad debt. Everybody says, well, I have a mortgage. Okay, I get it. I have a mortgage too. But I'm talking about all the excess debt. I'm talking about all the extras here. Proverbs 22:7, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Have you ever noticed why do they call it MasterCard? Who's your master? They call it American Depress. And if you don't have those two, you got a visa to the country going nowhere. Come on. It's all debt. Debt is bad. Debt is evil. Okay? I'm just trying to... Listen, money is one of the most stressful things in a marriage. Is anybody here married? Am I right or wrong? Be honest. I mean, early on in our marriage, it would be like, I would rather talk about anything than money with Natalie. I mean, I would go to great lengths. I would even be willing to clean the basement over talking about money. I mean, I would do anything. But because we're willing to have honest conversations and make a budget and plan to get out of debt, we've had to do that. And we've had times in our life, about 6 years ago, found ourselves, debt creeped in. Not proud of it, it happened. Can't go back and change it. So we could either complain about it and try to, you know, do scratchy tickets or get out of debt. And so for a while, we did 1 year. We started the year with $18,000 debt on a credit card. This is 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years, it was right in there, 7 years ago, right? Okay, and so we made a plan. We were gonna drive for Lyft. So we drove people around Pittsburgh just in our spare time, early morning, late night, whenever we could get it, time to do it. But we did it, tithed, paid our expenses, put money aside for taxes, and paid off all that debt in a year. Why? Because we had a value to get out of debt. Get out of debt. Stay out of debt. Delayed gratification is a beautiful thing. Somebody say amen. Okay, next step of faith, save and invest. Proverbs 21, there's a precious treasure and oil in the house of the wise who prepare for the future. A short-sighted and foolish man swallows it up and wastes it. Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 7, it would rain. That's why we need a rainy day fund. Jesus promised you rain. He promised stuff's going to happen. Roofs leak. Right? Stuff happens. But when we save and invest, we're prepared for those things. So, see, these steps of faith all lead to you not having reluctant or regret in your giving. But when I save, so what am I going to save? I don't know. How much do you want to save? Well, Pastor, you don't understand. We're just getting by. When you get a written budget and you're telling your money where to go, you're telling what you're not going to spend on other things, but we're going to save. So start somewhere. Start with $25 a week. Start with $10 a week. Start with somewhere, somehow, some way, we going to save. See, it doesn't have to do with how much you're making. It has to do with how much you're spending. Big difference. It's how do I view money? It all belongs to God, not just the spirit, not just the first, like what I bring to church is holy. No, it's all holy. It all belongs to God. So we're going to get a written budget. We're going to make a plan to get out of debt. And if you don't know how to get out of debt, find somebody who's out of debt. Are you with me? Okay. Find somebody who's out of debt and say, how did you do that? How do you do this? That's what we had to do several times in our life. We had to sit down with people, face brutal reality with faith, say, this is where we are. This is where we want to be. How can we get there spiritually? And say no to the right things and yes to the right things. This is spiritual. This message will send you into the mission field. Because most people in this room right now, when guys come forward, ladies come forward, say, hey, let's go on a missions trip. The first thing you think is, I don't have money. First thing, maybe, I don't have enough money. I'll never have enough money. I can't have enough money. No, you have the money to go. Natalie and I lived when we first got married with young kids, $300 a month rent for a house. It was not the house we wanted to live in. It did not have air conditioning. It was not the pleasant home we wanted. But we made that choice so that we could have the home we have now 30 years later. I thought you'd be so excited this morning. Come on now. No, it's a mentality, spiritual mentality that God can help you have less fights in your house. How many of you would like to have less fights in your home? Nobody will raise it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's people on us here. Glory to God in the highest. Come on. No, I'm serious. You'll have less fights. Who has time to fight? We don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. You're right. So what we're gonna save money here. So start with $1,000. Then move to $5,000. $1,000. This week, Natalie sent me a text. She says, hey, we thought our car would be about $800-$900, you know, to get taken, about $900, I think. And then she said, hey, it was $1,200. Or 13, thank you, 1300. I really appreciate that. You know, it's like, she said, hey, it's 1300. And I said, well, I was preaching online. I was preparing this message. I says, well, I'm preaching on finances. Long pause. She sent me back a note. Find something else to preach on. That's the message. Come on. Maybe God's getting my heart first. Yeah. Are you with me? So get a budget, get out of debt, save and invest, and watch what God will do. Okay, last but not least, take a step of faith. You knew this one was coming. You knew it was coming. Live and give generously. Here it is. You must each decide. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Stop giving emotion. We're waiting for emotion to move us. Oh, if I feel emotion enough, oh, I'll feel it. Yeah, or response to pressure. Oh, my gosh, if I don't give something, oh, you know, reluctantly. But God loves a person who gives cheerfully. People tell me all the time, Pastor, I just don't feel loved by God. I say, well, give cheerfully and you'll be loved by God. No, you should take a picture of that one. That's good. Cheerfully. I mean, it's the word where we get the word hilarious. Ready to act because you're already persuaded. I've already been persuaded. I'm cheerful. I've learned how to give when we have nothing. I've learned how to give when we have a lot. And everywhere in between. That's the joyful part. That's the joyful part of what God has here. Don't live in regret. So let's just talk for a moment right here about the tithe. The tithe. The tithe is a word in the Bible. It means 10%. Tithe, 10%. You make 1,000, move the decimal point, 100. You make $10, move the decimal point, it's $100, $10. It's 10%. Are you with me? 10%. That's what tithe means. Okay, that's different than a tip. If you want to tip God, it's standard tips, 20%. But ain't nobody tip God like that. Just let me tell you that. Come on, somebody. No, I'm telling you, a tithe is 10%. And so it's returning to God what is already His. Tithing in my life keeps me grounded. It keeps me remembering God is my source, not my workplace, not the government, not anybody else. God is my source. So when I move the decimal, 36 years we'll be married in October. Never missed one. It's like because we just decided this is what we do. So a tithe is where you start, and then you watch what God will do over and above that. Two biggest reasons people don't tithe: fear and doubt. I realize we all have fear and doubt. If I give this, God won't come through, right? Who doesn't have fear and doubt at some point in their life? Or just undisciplined lives. I have no idea where my money's going, so I can't decide what to give. Or you're just so hurt and bruised from your past, you don't even consider God. I did that once, it didn't work. Okay, let me give you a couple verses. Are you still with me here? Is this helping your spiritual life? Okay. How many of y'all are still so excited you came to church today? Look at your neighbor and say, this is good stuff. That took more faith to say that than anything else you got. Come on. Here we go. Malachi chapter 3. I believe it's Old Testament. I still believe it's true here. Malachi chapter 3. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me, you say. How have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. No, both of them. Tithe and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Let's go to these next verses here. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. I personally believe that storehouse is the local church. That's what I believe. I believe it stands true in the New Testament and Old Testament. You bring the 10% into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the... You can test God in this, says the Lord of hosts. And if not, God says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. Can you imagine the windows of heaven being open? There's a lot of cool stuff going on in heaven. No, I want you, the windows of heaven open for you, and pour down blessings until there's no more need. Let's look at the last couple verses here. I will rebuke the devourer off of you. When you tithe, God says, I will tell Boo Boo when to sit. No, really. God says, if you do this, I'm going to tell the dog when to sit and shut up. The devourer. In my world, every dog is a devourer. That's just how I think. I can't stop it. But really, God's saying, I'm going to tell Satan to back off when you do this. God's saying, if you do this, I'm going to tell Satan, stop it. You stop it right now. And when you do this, it opens up the windows of heaven, and it just, blessings fall down. Come on, somebody. I want an open heaven. The stories that Pastor Gary shared about healing, deliverance, being set free are so awesome. I want more of that. I believe, according to this verse and Luke chapter 16, verse 11, true riches, I believe, are directly correlated to giving. I didn't say you can manipulate God, but didn't I? If you read Malachi 3 in the Old Testament, you read Jesus' words, Luke 16 in the New Testament, you put them together, you look at what happens, and next week we're going to be looking at the book of Acts in Pentecost Sunday about the Holy Spirit birthing the church, and look what the Spirit did. Great miracles happen, I believe, happened in a culture of giving. So there's four levels of giving. There's the first level of giving is occasionally you tip God, you throw something in, maybe you have a couple extra dollars, you got some birthday money, you know, like, okay, things are okay, let's give a couple dollars, it's all right, God's happy, I'm happy, you're happy. But then we move to consistent. That means every payday, I'm going to do something, I'm going to give to God, maybe start $10, $25, $50, $100. Okay, I'm going to do something. But then when you take a step of faith, then you move to tithing. That means 10%. This is what we do. This is what we stand for, because we have such a great God. He is overcoming my fear. He's overcoming my lack of discipline. He's moving in my life. The next step is generosity. The next step is generosity. That's above the tithe. That means we're giving a tithe and we already put money in our budget to give more. How do you get that way? You still need to pay your electric bill. The car is still going to need gas. Are you with me? But God shows up and you begin to tell your money where to go. So I say all that to say this. I want you to picture something now. I want you to picture you're in a grocery store. Where is it you shop? Aldi, Shop and Save, Giant Eagle, Sam's Club, wherever it is you go. And you're in line. And out of the corner of your eye, you see somebody in need. Maybe a couple kids. I want you to picture you now. You're in a store, and you see this. Can you see him? Can you see who I'm talking about? They just have a few things in their cart. But they get up to the cashier, and they got to take some things out. They're not taking out Cocoa Pebbles. They're not taking out potato chips. They're taking out chicken. They're taking out vegetables because they can't afford it. And in that moment, you feel a tug in your heart. No, you feel something in your heart. Your heart begins to go out to them, right? But you're not prepared for this moment. So you're just, oh, man. Oh, so maybe a couple dollars. Oh, here, I saw that or something. How would you like to be the one to walk over to them and put everything back up on there? Come on, you're the one now. You're the one that said, no, you put that chicken back. You put that broccoli back. Come on, you put the rice back up here. I'll pay the difference. Not because you were ruled emotionally or you were reluctant or you out of regret or guilty. You did it because you were prepared for this moment. Because you had a rich written budget, you're not in debt, you've already saved and invested, and you have money set aside in your budget, already you're prepared every month to give something extra. My friends, is a biblical stewardship on God's money. So when God wants to do something, right where you are, God says, go do that. God says, go help that person, but you don't need to say, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get home and my wife's going to be mad, or I don't even know how I'm going to pay the bills, or I don't know. No, you are prepared because you know where your money's going and you got extra. I mean, are you with me? This is God's biblical stewardship. Would you stand to your feet with me real quick here? Is this helpful to you today? How many of you want to take a step forward in your giving right now? How many of you? Okay, God, I just pray for every person right now, right here, Lord God, that God, by your grace, you would help us take a step forward in our giving. Take a step forward in our faith. Take a step forward in who we are in Christ. And Lord God, I pray, Father, that you would open heaven over Bridge City Church, all four locations, that there would be an open heaven, true riches, blessings from above poured out from heaven, Lord God. And Lord God, I pray, Father, for every person gathered here right now, Lord, for those who don't know you or may be far from you, Lord God, I pray that today would be a day that they meet you and they know who you are. So I just want to stop right here in this moment and say, listen, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ in a personal, real way, you came to the right place because we give, we serve, we do everything we do to make heaven bigger and hell smaller and to help people on a day-by-day basis find faith. So if you're here today and you don't have a day or a time or a moment where Jesus Christ has become the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, I want today to be your day. What you're simply saying is, Jesus Christ, be my forgiver. I have sinned. I have fallen short. So Jesus, by what you did on the cross, not my good works, please forgive me. And Jesus, now lead my life so that I can grow in my faith and be pleasing to you. If you've never done that before, I want to offer you that relationship with God right now, a real personal relationship with God. And if that's you, just really simple right here in this moment, I just want you just to slip up your hand so we can pray for you right in this moment. If you don't have a day, a moment, or time that you became a follower of Jesus, I want to offer you today. Is there anybody here today that says, you know what, today is my day? Anybody here today, anybody here, just want to stop and just say that right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person here today that, God, we would find a personal relationship with you, find peace, find joy, find life again in our whole entire lives in the name of Jesus. Let's give God a great big hand. You can be seated. Thanks for being so great. Pastor Ben, come on down.